day is found in the Gospel of Matthew, of Mark, and of Luke. It's concerning a father that brought his son unto Jesus Christ to be cured of the possession of a devil. We find that Christ, after being up on the mountain of Transfiguration, when he came down from this mount, there were a great number of people gathered around the disciples. There were scribes and any number of persons that were with these disciples. It appears before Christ came down from the mount that this father who had this son had brought him unto Christ, but Christ was up on the mount. He must have heard of Christ Jesus, how that he had the power to cast out devils, and how many miracles he had performed. And therefore, he brought his child to Christ. But Christ was absent. Christ was up on the mount. And now he likewise probably had heard how that these disciples had the very same power given unto them, for they had performed many miracles too. Christ had commissioned them and given them to go forth to heal the sick, to cast out devils. We read in one part of Scripture that when they came back to Christ, they said that they even seen Satan fall from heaven like lightning. They then likewise had power over the evil spirits. And now this man, he appealed unto the disciples if they couldn't cast out this evil spirit which was in his son. They had done so many times with others, and now they attempted to do so with this young man, but with no success. They could not cast out this dumb and deaf spirit which was in this young man. I believe it was very mortifying, very embarrassing to the disciples. They had so many people round about them, and when they couldn't do it, these scribes, they were always looking for an opportunity to prove that Christ was an impostor and that his followers likewise were only foolish creatures, and therefore they probably were mocking with them. They were deriding them. But now these disciples, they were hoping and praying that Christ would come. For they knew that if he came, he could cast out this evil spirit. But they could not. The reason that they could not was because they had no faith in exercise. They lacked faith at this time to cast out this evil spirit. And now just at this time, we find Christ coming down from the mountain. He sees the multitude of people, he sees these scribes, and he comes up to them and he says, "What question ye with my disciples?" But they didn't answer him a word. They weren't too happy that Christ just came at this time. But you could make up your mind that the disciples were very happy. Oh, they were greatly relieved to see that their master came at this present moment. You know, my hearers, Christ always comes just at the right time. Have you ever experienced it? Oh, he's so close to his children and to his people, especially when they're in trouble, when they need him. And then he comes so unexpectedly. And we find that when he came, these people, they came running to him. They were so amazed. They were filled with amazement, the scripture says. Why they were filled with amazement was probably because there was some of this glory that he had shown unto his disciples upon his face, upon his features yet. Or it could be that they were so amazed because he came just at the right time. And they came running to him. Now, in Matthew, we find that this father, he came and he fell down before Christ. And he said, "Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he is lunatic. He is filled with a spirit that takes him and carries him and causes him sometimes to fall into the fire and into the water. It teareth him, and it maketh him foam at his mouth, and if you could do something for us, please help us. This father came then with the case to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a case. It appears that this young man had what we would call the falling sickness. He got fits. Some of you people know what fits are. You've probably seen somebody in one of those fits at times. It's an awful thing to see a person in a fit. They don't know what they're doing. I've seen a man, even out of our own congregation, in one of them. He fell on the floor, and he began kicking his feet in the air, and his head, he began bouncing it on the floor, too. He didn't know what he was doing. And this is what this young man was in. He had fits. And when these fits took possession of him, why, it just drove him as a madman. And you can imagine, if you are parents and you had a son like that, what care, what anxiety such a son would cause you. You would be watching him almost all the time for fear that if he entered into one of these fits and he fell into the fire, he most certainly would burn to death. And now this, what was in this young man, was nothing else but the devil. The devil was seeking to destroy this young man, seeking him to commit suicide by casting himself into the fire and into the water. But this young man could not die, my hearers. And we find that the father appeals unto Christ and entreats him for mercy, that he would deliver his son from this evil spirit. He says, I brought him unto thy disciples, but they could not cast him out. And then Jesus, he began to speak unto the people and unto this man. O faithless and perverse generation, he says, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. In these words, we see that Christ was provoked with these people. It's written in one of the Gospels that where Christ was raised up in Galilee, in that particular part, he could do very little. He could not perform any miracles there because of the unbelief of the people. And now he calls these people in the front of him a faithless and a perverse generation. They had no faith. And when we have no faith, my hearers, we are perverse. Israel of old likewise was faithless and filled with perverseness. And Jesus, he bore with that generation a long time. How long shall I be with thee? He was with them 40 years in the wilderness. And they were a perverse and a faithless generation. And likewise, how long shall I suffer thee? And my hearers, may not these words be applied to us? How long have you and I been given to hear the gospel? God has placed it in our midst. And have we listened to it? Have we become obedient to it? Has it wrought those miracles in our hearts? For with Christ has sent it. Are we not faithless? Do not most of the people go away without having anything wrought upon them? How many are disobedient? How many go on in their sins? Are we not then a faithless and a perverse generation, even with the gospel in our midst? How long shall the gospel continue with us? I do not know, my hearers. It may be that Christ may be provoked with us and may say, how long shall I be with you? It would be so just if God took the candlestick which he has blessed us with away and placed it in a heathen nation and began to perform miracles and wonders amongst the heathen and left us in our sins and left us to perish. Oh, he is such a long-suffering God. Oh, and not over such faithless and perverse sinners such as we are. Bring him unto me, he says. And they brought this son unto Christ. And as they brought him unto Christ, we find he fell into a fit. He fell on the ground. And he went into a rage. And he began to foam at his mouth just like a wild dog. And the Lord Jesus, he says unto the Father, how long has it been with him like this? And the Father says, since he was a child. If thou canst do anything, then have mercy on us and help us. This was the prayer of the Father to Jesus. If thou canst do anything for us, help us. It was just as if he said, well, the disciples, they couldn't cast him out. And oh, I don't know whether you can cast him out or not. If thou canst do anything for us. He came with an if. My hearers, we find that this here leper, he came to Christ too with an if. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, this leper had faith in exercise. He believed that it was the will of Christ, then he could be made clean. But this man lacked that faith. If thou canst do anything, just as if he was doubtful of whether Christ could do it or not, he cast it upon the power of Christ. If thou hast the power to do this, then do help us. Now Christ, he speaks back to him and he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto them that believe. Christ cast it back upon his feet. If thou canst believe. Don't you believe that if this man could have believed and could have exercised faith in this matter, that he would have done so? Don't you think that he wanted his son to be made whole, to be cured, to be delivered from this evil spirit? So many people today, they believe. Oh, it's so easy to believe. All you have to do is accept Christ and you're saved. So many people got a head stuffed full of belief, but a heart empty of true saving faith. Not one grain of it, my hearers. And this man, and he was told by Christ, if thou canst believe. And this man had a lot of trouble. He had a lot of trouble inside, my hearers. Oh, if he only could believe, his son would be made whole in a moment. But he couldn't believe. The Lord Jesus Christ came to you, my hearers, and says, if thou canst believe, what would you do? What would you do? You'd do probably just like this man did. Inside this man was in a turmoil. Oh, he wished that he could believe. I think he was saying inside, Lord, I wish I could believe. You know I can't believe of myself. Do help me to believe. Do deliver me from my unbelief. And do give me to believe. This was his exercise inside, my hearers. And it broke out, too, in his face. He couldn't contain himself any longer. He broke out and he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. With tears streaming down his face. You can see he had a struggle inside. You know anything about such a struggle, my hearers? Or can you always believe? Or do you need someone like this man to give you to believe? And now the Lord Jesus Christ, he spake unto this young son. For when he began to speak, the people began to run. They wanted to see him perform this miracle. They were anxious to see this. And he spake unto this spirit, and he said unto him, Thou deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him, and enter no more into him. Oh, he was the Almighty God. He but spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. By his word, this spirit had to come out of this young man. But this spirit was a devilish spirit. It was reluctant to come out. It was a malicious spirit. It did not want to leave him. It wanted to keep possession of him. And therefore it threw him into a fit right in the front of Christ. And in this fit, he wallowed. He turned himself upside down on the ground, right in the front of Christ. The devil, he wanted to show yet how much power he had over this young man. He didn't want to leave him, but he had to. Oh, when Christ commands, he must leave him. The devil found that there was one stronger than himself at this present time. But he was reluctant to go out. And when he came out of this young man lay on the ground just like if he was dead. And everybody said, he is dead. They thought sure that this young man was dead. But he who had charged this spirit to come out, he had his life likewise in his hand. And he went over to him, and he took him by the hand, and he raised him up, and he arose, and he was perfectly cured. His mind was normal, and his body was perfectly made well. The devil could enter no more into this young man. This, I believe, caused the father and this son to be filled with joy. Oh, how happy they must have been that Christ had delivered this young son from this devilish spirit. And now we find that the disciples, they came unto Christ and they said in the house, why could we not cast him out? And you have heard it read in Matthew, how that the Lord Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For I say unto you, that if ye had but a grain of faith, like a mustard seed, then you would say unto this mountain, be moved, and it would be moved. But he says, these kind come out with nothing else but fasting and prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ then spake unto these disciples, showing them that it was because of the lack of their faith that they could not cast this evil spirit out of this young man. They had not that faith in exercise that he had given unto them when he commissioned them to go forward in his name and perform these miracles. It was lacking at this present time. It was a very malicious and an evil spirit, and these spirits could not be cast out except by fasting and prayer. This teaches us likewise that by fasting and by prayer, we, who are all possessed with the devil, may, in and through the Spirit of God, receive divine power and be delivered from the devil. It is by fasting and prayer, subjecting our body to fasting and praying to God for divine help, then we likewise will be delivered from this evil spirit. We have been dwelling upon this man, bringing his son unto Christ, and praying him that he would deliver his son from this evil spirit. This is great encouragement, my hearers. If you have someone in your family, a son, a daughter, a wife, or a husband that has an incurable disease, or you may have children who likewise are possessed with a devilish and an evil spirit, who are so disobedient, who will not listen to their parents, who are uncontrollable, who go on and do as they please, regardless of the counsel that you give to them. And then we have in this great encouragement for such to bring it unto Christ. You may bring it to a minister. You may bring it likewise to a Christian. Your concern about whoever it may be, your relative, your friends, or whoever it may be. And you may plead with them that they may plead with God that he would or she would be delivered. But we are not to put our dependence upon a minister or upon any Christian, but we are to put our dependence upon Christ and him only, who is able and who is willing to deliver sinners from the devilish spirit. Oh, how many parents have I listening to me that do as this man did? What did he do? He went to Christ and he begged Christ, "Lord, have mercy," he says, "upon my son." Now, this was an exception, this young man. You know, we all, by nature, are under the power and under the dominion of the devil. Every one of us. He reigns in us. And in and through him reigning in us, we are careless, we are indifferent. We have no concern about our own souls, much less about the souls of our children. But if God has planted his grace in your soul, then you have become concerned about your own soul and about the souls of your children. And then you come like this man, praying that you would have mercy shown to you and to your children. Oh, let me entreat you, those that are listening to me, let us all appeal unto Christ. And let us beg him and entreat him to deliver us from the devil. And likewise, to put his grace in our hearts and in the hearts of our children. Oh, may God give us to continue instant in prayer and supplication at his feet. And we find that this young man was possessed with this devilish spirit, which cast him into the fire and into the water. Now you may have someone, a son or a daughter, who likewise is under the power and under the dominion of the devil, and who have been brought sometimes almost to destruction. It's the aim of the devil to destroy every one of us if he could. All my hearers, believe me, the devil, he has so much power. And he inflicts, under the permissive will of God, so many things upon mankind to make them miserable. Oh, if you visit a sanatorium, if you visit an asylum, if you go to one of these places where you find these poor creatures bereft of their reasoning powers, They are behind doors. They are behind cells. They're in solitary confinement. Nobody can get near to them. Oh, in them, my hearers, the devil reveals his power, his might. What maketh you and I to differ? Have you ever thought of that? Why ain't you like one of them? Are you any better than them? Is it because you live a good life? You don't sin as much as they do? No, my hearers. Oh, it's the long-suffering and the patience and the forbearance of God over you and I. Has it ever touched you? Has it ever reached your heart? That your heart has become broken and contrite, that you have said, Lord, what a wonder that you put up with me, such a sinner like me. What a wonder that I'm not in one of those places. What a wonder that thou dost yet bear with me in my sins and in my transgressions. All my hearers, I am sure that God's people, they are brought there at various times, filled with wonder before God, their hearts broken, contrite under his goodness and under his long suffering over them. And now we find that this young man, being possessed with this devilish spirit, oh, when Christ came and spake unto him, come out of him and enter no more into him, and then the devil put up an awful rage. Oh, he actually tore that young man. He threw him into a fit. He made him fall on the ground in front of Christ. And believe me, my hearers, if under the means of grace, if under reading the word, the Lord Jesus Christ should come to one of you, and he should apply his word as he spake here, he commanded that evil spirit to come out of that young man. If he should command that the evil spirit should come out of you, the devil ain't going to leave you so easy. Oh, no. He's got such a hold on you, and he don't want to leave go. All my hearers, you find this young man wallowing and foaming and crying out. Now when this takes place in a sinner, when the devil has to relinquish his hold, when Christ takes the power away from Satan over such a sinner, then, my hearers, the devil raises up a cry in many a person who that person is associated with. Sometimes his own parents, sometimes his own brothers and sisters. Oh, the devil puts a cry in them. Not only that, but the devil begins to show unto that person how many black spots they got in their former life. Oh, he puts up an awful cry inside of such a soul. You, just look at your past life. Look the way you lived. Look what you did. You think you're going to be saved? You think Christ is going to cure you? That he's going to save you and deliver you from your sins? Never, the devil says inside. Oh, he puts up an awful storm inside of some of his God's dear children. I don't know if he ever did in your heart. But oh, he's such a tempting devil. Oh, he puts before you the world and all its pleasures. The flesh. That's gratifying to you, to your nature. And he says to you, why don't you go on and live in it? You're only going to be damned anyway. You're not going to be saved. They ain't going to have any mercy on you. And this the devil puts into the minds and into the hearts of those whom Christ is drawing, who the devil has to relinquish his power from. He don't want to leave it. Or he wants to remain in it. He wants to take that soul to hell with himself. And therefore, he stirs up everything in that person against Christ, against coming to Christ. The Lord Jesus
Christ
commanded this spirit to come out. And he had to come out. He didn't want to come out. And he don't want to come out of any one of your hearts either, my hearers. And he'll hold fast on you just until that time when Christ, with his almighty word and power, makes him come out. And now when he came out of this young man, we find that this young man lay on the ground just like dead. You know, when the devil has fulfilled his struggles in a sinner, then that sinner, he doesn't know what to do anymore. He lies there, just like a helpless one, like a dead one. He don't know whether he's going to be saved or whether he's going to be damned. And there he lays, just like a dead one. But now the Lord Jesus came to this young man. He took him by the hand and he raised him up. And my hearers, has the Lord ever, Jesus ever done that to you? Has he ever come to you in and through the medium of the word? Has he ever come to you in a promise? Has he ever come to you in an invitation and said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest? Have you heard his voice? Have you been encouraged? Have you been given the hope that there is mercy in store for such a creature like you? Then he has reached out his hand towards you. He's lifted you up at times, hasn't he? Haven't you been sometimes so discouraged, so despondent, so cast down that you thought it was all wrong? There was no use of going on any longer in your professional religion. Oh, you were brought to your wit's end. And what happened? Then came this marvelous voice, this encouraging voice, which again enlivened you, gave you a new hope, gave you to be raised up above all your fears and all your doubts and everything that you were experiencing. Oh, it's a blessing when the Lord stretches out his hand and raises us up and causes us to walk in his ways. Oh, what a mercy if we may walk in his ways with pleasure and with delight. How seldom we do this. It's against flesh. It's against blood, my hearers. And this young man was raised up by Jesus Christ. He arose to a newness of life. Never no more to be possessed with this devil. And now the devil may come to you. He may shoot his arrows at you. He may try in many ways to tempt you, to lead you away. But he never, never shall have full possession over you anymore. And you find that in the history of Job. The Lord let Job in the hands of Satan. And what didn't he do to that godly man? But he could not touch his life. And so the Satan cannot touch the lives of God's dear children. They are kept by the power of God, by faith unto salvation. Blessed are all they that have been lifted up out of the cesspool of sin in which they have been in, and have been given a hope in his mercy. The Lord bless this lesson, immortal soul.